So last week was the week of Pentecost. We celebrated the coming of the Holy Spirit in the church, and it is no longer officially Pentecost, but I really like Pentecost, and I think it's because, like, it's so dramatic. There's, like, wind and fire and all the languages, and there's all these people involved in this story. But I think it's also in part because I have an affinity. If there's one part of God who I feel, like, more compelled and invited by, it is the Holy Spirit, who I see as dynamic and creative and making connections between people and, like, growing ideas within us. And the beauty, one of many, of being Mennonite is that we are not tied to the liturgical calendar the way some other denominations are. Our Lutheran and Episcopal friends, they can't celebrate Pentecost two Sundays in a row, but we can, because why not? So we have a second Sunday of Pentecost today. And rather than diving straight into ordinary time, oh, thank you. Rather than diving straight into ordinary time, is it working this time? All right. We can keep the spirit of Pentecost going. So the text that we heard from Paul's letter to the Corinthians, and we've spent a little bit of time in Corinthians so far, and this is another very familiar one. We've sung it and we've heard it many times because it's such a compelling visual, this idea of a body with many parts. And it is a Pentecost text because it is the Spirit that calls those parts together, the Spirit that puts gifts within us that we're given to serve the church. And the Spirit it's actively filling the members of the church in Corinth and in every time and place, even now, with these gifts that are activated in service of the church and of the world. And just like a body, all of the gifts work together. And they can also work against each other. And that's sort of what Paul's responding to when he writes this letter to the Corinthians. When I was seeing a Quaker spiritual director, I had a spiritual director who was Quaker for many years. And the Quakers, as I'm sure many of you know, are, you know, like, it is the Spirit that is the central idea when Quakers come together to meet. It is in service of listening for the Spirit's word among them and, like, allowing the Spirit to speak in their midst. And so I found her work very helpful to think about how is the Spirit working among us. And she in particular had done a lot of work around sort of how each of us is gifted in different ways and spiritual gifts as really innate to who we are as persons. And our gifts are so much a part of ourselves that they kind of become our native language. Last week we talked about, like, literal languages. But when I would talk with this spiritual director, she would think about our gifts as, like, sort of just a part of who we are in the world. And because they're part of who we are, we tend to value different gifts more than others. We value the way we are in the world and our particular gifts like we do our native language. Like, this is how we understand the world. And so that when we experience someone else encountering the world in a different way with different kinds of gifts and offering those, if that doesn't really mean something to us, we don't necessarily feel like it's that important. And that lack of understanding can cause conflict and misunderstanding and miscommunication. So I have recently learned that this idea, the pop psychology idea of love languages is, you know, like, sort of decades old by now. I recently heard this not actually a thing. Maybe it never actually was, like, a real, real thing. But I will tell you, it was a very helpful tool for my spouse and me. When we needed help communicating with each other. So this is the idea that was developed by a psychologist named Gary Chapman, I think now, like, over 20 years ago, maybe even more than that. The idea being that each person has a different love language. So there are, I think, 5 words of affirmation: physical touch, receiving gifts, quality time, and acts of service. And when we're spoken to in our particular language, we feel loved and connected to our partner if they sort of speak to us in that particular way. So for example, my love language is acts of service. My spouse's is words of affirmation. And so we're often like talking past each other when we're trying to express our love and appreciation for each other. So when I'm looking for someone to just like pick up the dishes and take them to the dishwasher after dinner, I would say love and appreciation and like thank you to me. And I don't necessarily hear the words of like gratitude and appreciation and this is delicious. Thank you for making this meal. Like all of that goes past me if the dishes don't transport themselves to the dishwasher. And on the same token, I forget to express my appreciation and affirmation and gratitude and encouragement, which is how my spouse feels loved and appreciated. And this idea that like how we encounter the world and who we are in the world and in our relationships, I mean, like that can translate to other ways of being, like the Enneagram, which I know plenty of you are familiar with, or Myers-Briggs, or like all kinds of other ways of categorizing personalities and ways of being. As humans, with a variety of gifts, even when we have the best of intentions of being loving and kind toward each other, we can miss the mark in our communication of that. And then when our intentions are something more akin to unkindness or conflict, we move ever farther and farther away from where the Spirit is inviting us to follow. And this is the passage, this passage about gifts and the body of Christ, that leads right into 1 Corinthians 13, which is the love passage, which we talked about a few weeks ago. The one that we always hear at weddings, but which isn't really about intimate relationships. It's about how we are together in community. So Paul was unpacking this idea of how we are in our gifts before leading into this idea that at the center is love. Before we can really love each other, we need to try to understand and speak each other's language. Are you all familiar with the movie Love Actually? Which is, I don't think it stands up. It follows about 9 or 10 different sort of storylines of different couples. One of them never really made sense to me. I mean, lots of them at this point, I'm like, it's better to keep that in 2005 or whenever it was from. But one of them never understood, which was, there's this couple, one a writer played by Colin Firth, who is in Portugal for some reason they can't remember, and he falls madly in love with his housekeeper, even though they do not speak the same language. They can't understand each other. He makes this grand gesture of proposal, which she can't really understand. Maybe he tries to like learn a few words of Portuguese to be able to do that. But how can they possibly know each other? How can they possibly understand and have feelings for each other when they know nothing about each other beyond she is serving him tea while he is writing a book? It doesn't make sense, because we need to understand each other and communicate to each other to be able to move into an appreciation for and service with each other. How can that happen? So this love passage isn't, and this one, they aren't about a couple. They are about community and about how we value each other as one body. So someone who doesn't speak, sort of quote unquote, speak the gift of hospitality and service might think, well, that's just all unnecessary busy work. And someone who doesn't speak the gift of prophecy might find it annoying that someone's continuing to say, hey, we should stand up for justice. Hey, we should go do this thing. Hey, we should be out there in the world. Like, that's just like, stop bothering us with that stuff. These are both gifts that are so important to the work of the church. Prophecy is telling truth to power and naming injustice and pushing the church body to be more Christ-like. Hospitality and service ensures that spaces feel welcome and that people are fed and cared for and supported. And there are so many other gifts that allow us to be church together. The body will communicate between its members more fluidly if the hand is learning the language of the eye, is learning the language of the feet and ankles, is learning the language of the heart. Many years ago, I saw a Cirque du Soleil performance. I'm sure lots of you have seen Cirque du Soleil. They've come through Seattle a few times. And I watched that whole performance just like with my mouth hanging open, just watching like in awe of the way the acrobats and performers engaged with their body. Like their whole body is just used with intention and like you could just see every muscle working with every other part of the body. And not just like individuals, but as a team or as a group, like one person passing a thing to another or flipping off, like everything just so coordinated and beautiful. And it takes so much practice for one of those acrobats to be able to do that. Years. Like we have a couple circus kids in our midst. I wish they were here to ask about that this week. Like it takes a lot of training and practice to be able to use a body so intentionally. Never mind when we see multiple acrobats or performers or musicians all like catching and releasing and throwing and balancing all together. And it takes practice to be the body of Christ. I am 100% positive that on the way to perfecting those beautiful performances, the athletes and acrobats stumbled. I'm sure they fell, dropped someone, didn't make the leap or the throw or the flip, because we all fail on the way to being the body. And it is through the Spirit that we pick each other up, that we hold each other's hands, that we serve when one person's body needs help. That is who we are together in the church. One of my favorite hymns in the old hymnal and now in the new hymnal is "We Are People of God's Peace" with a text by Menno Simons. It's 797 if you want to look for it. In the new version, in this purple hymnal, the Mennonite Hymnal Committee added another verse to Menno Simons' original words. They added verse 2. And it ends, "Though we falter and we fail, Christ will still renew us. By the Holy Spirit's power, God is working through us." The Holy Spirit is working through us, helping us to learn each other's languages and each other's movements, helping us to understand and respond to each other's needs, helping us unite not in unanimity, but in the diversity of the body. Used together, so that the Spirit's gifts are used together the way a body works fluidly in motion. Or, you know, we were just talking about it before, maybe a little less fluidly as we get a little older and our ankles and backs and hands don't work as quite as well as they did. And that is where the body of Christ comes around us. May we seek to listen for and to understand the body and the language of the Spirit. Understand each other's gifts and offer our own gifts. May we have grace and understanding when our gifts and ways of being don't translate immediately for another. May we have grace. And may we continue the work of gift interpretation as the body of Christ. And in that practice, may we strengthen the body. Amen.